بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, may Allah accept your fast and qiyam. Ibn Abi Dunya narrated that Mujahid said in one chain, and also Ibn Abi Dunya narrated that Malik ibn Dinar said it. So it's said by both of them. Actually, this statement is said by more than those two, with slight variations. You're going to find that Hassan al-Basri said it, and Abu Bakr al-Muzani and others said it. The statement is, not a day passes by which does not say, O son of Adam, I have come to you today and I will never return until the judgment day. So be careful of what you do during my stay. When that day passes and leaves and it's done with, it's folded up and sealed, never to be reopened again by anyone until Allah reopens it on the judgment day. In another statement, Al-Hasan al-Basri compared the days like guests. He said, the days say, O son of Adam, I'm your guest. And guests always leave thinking or vilifying you. They either say he's generous or cheap, speak good or bad. And likewise, the days and the nights are just like that. Meaning they will either testify for you or against you. Understand that the night and day are like two treasures. They're like two treasure chests. Be careful what you do with them. Be careful how you spend them. Take care of them like you would take care of a treasure. It's as if you're made up of time. Time is your capital and investment. Time is days, and days are your life. And life is like a road. It will either take you to Jannah or to Jahannam. Wal'iyadhu billah. Nights are for our worship. Nights and days are for worship. But nights are for worship, more so for worship, and the days are the marketplace. Normal days to a believer are precious. I went with Sheikh Ibn Qa'ud one time. I did the Hajj with him. May Allah raise his ranks to Jannah. A true imam of our time who spoke the truth. He was among the official ulama of Ifta years and years ago. Actually, so back far, I don't think anyone here was born when he was in the official Ifta group. He spoke on some matters and then resigned from the Ifta, or more accurately put, he was forced to resign. And many say, where are the ulama that speak the truth? Alhamdulillah, as bad as the situation is, this ummah has righteous ulama. But the problem is, where those people are looking for them, they're looking for them in the wrong places, because they're rejected from satellite channels. They're sidetracked and imprisoned by governments who promote, put them down, crush them, and promote other ignorant heads. And unfortunately, the masses of the ummah lost the skill of finding out how to find out the genuine ulama from the fake ones. As to Ibn Qa'ud rahmatullah alayhi, one of the matters he spoke about back in the day was about TV. Back in the 70s and 80s, the TVs in Saudi was filth, polluting the lands, the purified, pure lands of the Haramain. When we were in Medina in 1979, I remember and I recall it very clearly. We were leaving the Haram one day, as we did every single day, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and we walk by the shops. The market was right outside the door, not unlike how it is today. And you pass by TV shops that had displayed the TVs all throughout the stores, and they had them on the only channel they had, the only government channel and the only channel in the whole country. And in 1979, I remember one day we were walking out of the Haram and it was Danny Osman on their TV. And that's one of the reasons, the TV and the situation of the TV, the 1979 massacre in Mecca, that's one of the reasons Juhayman said, mentioned. So to diffuse the situation, the king had a meeting with the high ulama, because people listened to the ulama. So he said, Alhamdulillah, we fixed the TV and now it's da'wah oriented to convey to the ulama. And it was total silence. But then the lion, may Allah raise his rank to Firdaus, had to roar. Ibn Qa'ud got up and said, no, that's not true. And that was the point that started the feud. The point I mentioned this is, when I did Hajj with him, I was sitting by him one time and a man came to him and asked him. He said, Sheikh, what's the ruling on TV? The man appeared to be a normal person. He wasn't a talib ilm where the Sheikh would go into detail. So the Sheikh kept it clear, brief, and short in a way the man will understand it. And that's what I mentioned it. He said, and this pertains to our talk today, is there anyone with his right mind who knows that his every heartbeat, every exhalation and inhalation Every one of those is counted and fixed. Does anyone who realizes that waste his time on any of that filth? All those statements I mentioned to you by Al-Hasan al-Basri, Mujahid and others, that pertains to regular days. Now take it a step further. Imagine how valuable it is when the reward is multiple folds like the days we are in today. The value of season, Allah gave some months more merit and priority and grace over other months. Look at the 4 months of Al-Ashhur al-Hurum. Minna arba'atun hurum dhalika ad-din al-qayyim fala tadhlimu fihinna anfusakum. So out of the 12 months we have the 4 months, the Ashhur al-Hurum. Out of those, second level is Ash-Shahr al-Haram, Al-Hajju Ashhur al-Ma'lumat. And out of all those, we got 12, and then out of that is 4, and then out of that is Dhul-Hijjah. And the best month beyond the doubt is Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. Likewise, some days are better than other days. And the nights have merit and priority over days in regard to matters, for example, like Qiyam. And oath was given by, for example, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, wal-Fajri wal-Layalin Ashr. The night of Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 nights. Now we're in Ramadan. And now it's time to catch a whiff of that Ramadanic breeze that will not give you a cold. Rather, it'll make you among the most successful there is. What are you talking about, Ahmed? What's a whiff and a breeze and what's that? Let me repeat that. Catch a whiff of that Ramadanic breeze that will not give you a cold. Rather, it'll make you among those who will never be among those who are wretched. You know how there's a saying, when one is in a room temperature, especially in our cold weather here, and their hair is wet, or they're sweating in the gym, don't go outside, because you're going to catch a cold, or you're going to catch your death of cold. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith compared the blessed days in general, like that of Ramadan or Dhul-Hijjah or the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, like a breeze, like a whiff. It's a whiff, like catching a whiff of perfume. Smell it. When a whiff of perfume, smell it while it lasts, because it's soon going to go away. It's a breeze, like a cold breeze passing by you. Within seconds, it's going to leave. That cold breeze, the wind. This is not going to give you a cold or death. It's going to make you among the happiest there ever was. And it's going to make you among those who will never be wretched, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith in Tabarani, on the authority of Muhammad ibn Maslama, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna lillahi fi ayyam al-dahri nafahat." Nafahat means breezes, whiffs. Fata'arradu laha. Subject yourself. Throw yourself at the wind. Extend your arms at the wind. فَلَعَلَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَن تُصِيبَهُ نَفْحَةً فَلَا يَشْقَى بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. He will never be among the rich if he catches one of those whiffs. That's in days where the multiple folds of ajr, like that which we are in today, like Ramadan and Dhul-Hijjah and Laylatul Qadr. A man was once in a funeral procession, and the man, a righteous wise man, asked the other next to him. He said, "This man that's dead, if he comes back to life, would you think he would do good and better? Or what do you think he would do?" So the other man said, "Of course, there's no doubt about it, he'd come back and do better. And at least, he'd probably wish to wake up and do 2 rak'ahs, and then die again." So the first one who asked said, "If it's not him, let it be us." Meaning, let that be a lesson to us. When you're overcome with laziness and habits that deter from ibadah, or the devils of humans, shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, that they become a barrier from catching that breeze, then resist and revolt against it. We have a solution to every matter in our deen. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't leave us barbarians. Each one of the solutions to these, laziness, boredom, devils of the shayateen, of the insi, each one you could talk about for halaqat. Did you know, for example, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to get up and pray Qiyam al-Tahajjud at night, he would start off with 2 rak'ahs, 2 preparatory rak'ahs, prep rak'ahs. When you work out, they tell you stretch out. When you lift, want to weightlift, when you want to jog, because you're going to pull a muscle. Likewise, you don't want to pull a heart or a soul muscle. The nafs struggles at times to do these ordains, and we struggle to do the nawafil, the extras. You overcome boredom, laziness, by knowing the rewards for all that. Learning of the life of the Salaf and examples of the life of Salaf. Having righteous friends to compete with and remind each other. Knowing that the opportunity on this life is very short. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, whoever wants to compete with you on matters of the deen, go for it. Take the challenge. If it's a matter of this dunya, then throw it in his face and walk away. Surround yourself. Surround yourself in this month, in this time, with those who you see are better to you, better than you. You don't have to necessarily tell them I'm competing with you, but take it as a competition. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ In that, let the competitors compete in the matters of the life after. Wallah, it's a race to Allah. Wuhayb ibn al-Ward said, if you can be the first in the race to Allah, be so. Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Uthman al-Turkistani said, I never heard of anyone doing any matter of worship except I did like it or more. ما بلغني عن أحد من الناس أنه تعبد عبادة إلا تعبدت نظيرها أو زدت عليها. They asked Nafi, how was the life of Umar in the house? Tell us how his life was. He said, in his house, it was wudu and salah. Wudu and salah. And in between that, it was recitation of Quran. Umar's son, Abdullah ibn Umar. When he used to miss one salah in congregation, he would fast the following day and pray all night and free a slave the following day. Did you hear that? If he missed the salah in congregation, if he missed it, and you know Ibn Umar, he had to miss it for a legitimate excuse. These are supreme people, people who have supreme goals and hold themselves to a high standard. I want to mention more on the examples of the Salaf, but we don't want to, we've been going over the board in the talks. So inshallah, tomorrow or another halaqah, I'll mention more of the examples of the Salaf and what they said on this matter. But the point to take away in your pouch today is to understand and comprehend. What I advise you, and Allah is my witness, I need this before anyone else. I'm only reminding myself, speaking out loud. That's all I'm doing in reality. Time is more precious than gold and wealth. Some of the Salaf were more generous in their wealth than they were with their time. We have an entire surah wal asr, time to cherish time. That's in normal days. We're talking normal days. So imagine that it's blessed days like these days where a deed is worth between not 10 to 700. The Prophet ﷺ said deeds are worth folds of 10 to 700, except Siyam. You think it means except Siyam 9? It means, inshallah, over 700. Whatever interferes in taking you off the course of ibadah, Islam left us a solution how to deal with it. Warm up for ibadah. Remember death, it'll kill boredom. Listen to snippets of the life of the Salaf and those we mentioned. It will overcome laziness. Everything. Islam left you a solution on everything. Last year, Ramadan, it was the year of 1433 Hijrah. Today, it's 1434. Time flies like an arrow. And before you know it, it's going to be 1435. That's if we reach it. And before you know it, we're all going to be in Alim al-Ghayb. Prepare for it. It's a time to prepare for it. In conclusion, I'll leave you with an astonishing fact. Actually, a fact that I find astonishing. Intend and strive with your deeds completely for the sake of Allah. Your life for Allah. And your intention for Allah. You'll get the best of both worlds. That's a fact. A promise. That's like, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى Allah is the supreme example. You go to a store to buy something. When you walk in to buy that matter, glasses, for example, you go to buy one, whatever it may be. You end up, they're telling you, today we have a special, you buy one, you get one free. Of course, again, I'll say, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى That's how it works in matters of the life after. You making this stuff up, Ahmed? Our Quran told us, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً Pay attention to that word. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ In Surah Al-Nahl, الحياة طيبة, الدنيا. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. Listen carefully and listen to the translation. Whoever works, whoever does deeds rightfully, male or female, while he or she is a true believer, verily they will have a good life. حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Good life. This life, it means provisions in this life. It means contentment in this life. It means matters of this life. Does it stop there? No. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ. And we shall pay them certainly in reward. We shall pay them a reward in proportion to the best of that which they used to do. That part of the verse means paradise and the hereafter. So you get the best intent of sake of Allah and let your life revolve around Allah and you'll get the best of both worlds. You get a freebie. And Allah started with the freebie and then mentioned the one, the ultimate goal, the akhirah. Allahumma ja'alna mimman yalqaka bi'a'malin salihatin ya rabbal alamin wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.